This is Community Radio, KGNU, Boulder, Denver and Fort Collins. And we continue our commitment to covering local city council issues with a series of candidate forums for Boulder City Council. This year, there are 14 candidates vying for 5 seats. We're featuring a series of forums so listeners can hear from all of the candidates. This morning, we welcome in the studio Jan Burton. She currently serves on City Council. Cindy Carlisle, who has previously served on City Council, and Adam Swetlick. Welcome to you all. Thank you for being with us. And we do have a tight on time today, so we're going to breakneck speed and jump right in. We'll start with Cindy Carlisle. We're going to invite you to make an opening statement.
Good morning. I'm a long-term Boulder resident, CU grad, mother of 2 children born and raised in Boulder, and a twice elected official, once to the Boulder City Council back in the late 80s, and again I served as CU regent from 2003 to 2009. I'm running in this election because I and many, many others have devoted a lot of time, energy, and money to making Boulder the incredibly special place that it is. And I think we're at a crossroads in this election, one in which we have a choice between traditional progressive values and trust in government or big money and dwindling trust in government.
That's Cindy Carlisle. We'll go next to Adam Swetlick, your opening statement.
Hi, everyone. My name is Adam Swetlick. I have lived in Boulder for 11 years and graduated from the University of Colorado in 2010. And I'm running specifically to try to reduce the inequality that's been growing in Boulder. The 2016 election was a real inspiration for me to do something to get involved. And as the youngest candidate at 30 years old, I think it's time that us young people step up and provide that path for people to reduce the inequality in our city. I work 2 jobs and have ever since I graduated from college. And that's, you know, a very hard task just to remain in Boulder. And I really want to represent those people who have to work 60 hours a week or multiple jobs, who are just trying to break in the community or just graduated as students. They deserve a voice on City Council, and I want to be that voice.
That's Adam Swetlick, candidate for City Council. Jan Burton, opening statement.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Jan Burton, and I've lived in Boulder about 9 years, and I've had the fortune of being on the council for the last 2 years. I have learned an incredible amount in the last 2 years. And one of the things I've really come face-to-face with is the extreme poverty that we have in this county that I think most people don't see. 14% of our residents are living in poverty. And I've become friends with some people of color who have opened my eyes to some of the policies that we've had in the past that could be changed and could impact people's lives for the better. So I'd like to run again for another 4 years. That's it for me. I've said that I'll only run one time. I want to leave openings for people like Adam. And so I hope I get elected for 4 more years. Thank you.
That's Jan Burton. We're going to ask each candidate to identify 3 priorities that you would have. And we'll mix up the order and we'll start with Adam Swetlick. 3 priorities if you were on City Council.
Great. You're going to hear a lot of candidates say this, but affordable housing is my number one priority. Providing more places for people to live where they work. That means expanding upon low and middle income housing primarily and making that a top priority. Second, I think it's very important that we address homelessness in our community. We have a moral obligation in order to actually provide opportunities for our most vulnerable citizens. Finally, I'm a very big proponent of municipalization. I think it's important that we control our own power grid and have our own energy future in our hands.
That's Adam Swetlick. We'll go to Jan Burton. 3 priorities for you for City Council.
My 3 priorities would be housing, same as Adam. Governance and whatever steps we need to take given the vote that the voters give on the municipalization. So a little bit more about that. We are a progressive community. We need to be more progressive on our housing policies. And so that has been a priority of mine and will continue to be a priority of mine. And that means housing for all. We need to provide all different kinds of ranges and diversity of housing, which will open things up for the whole community. Tied with that is the price of property for small businesses and nonprofits. Our nonprofits are really struggling. Secondly is governance. Right after I got on council, there was a water main break up in the north part of Boulder. and about 30 residents got flooded with water. And the city's policy was not to cover that. And I didn't feel like that was right. I did a little bit of research into other cities' policies. And long story short, I fought to have them get some financial relief from that. That's the kind of thing. I'm a good listener, and I try to act on behalf of our citizens. I believe we need to have better governance in terms of financial integrity. I'm a bit of the financial watchdog on the budget. Because if we can save money in certain places, then we can invest it more in things like housing and the arts. And then the third thing is municipalization. While I absolutely support the goals of the municipalization and I honor the efforts of everyone who put into this, I am a realist, and I think that the amount of money that we've put into this already and the amount that we're asking for, there's a lot of uncertainty to if we'll really be able to accomplish our goals. And I have friends who are on the other side of that, but clearly I will follow what the voters tell us, and we have to put together plans either way, whether municipalization passes or whether it doesn't. We should not back off to our goals and put plans in place to accomplish those goals.
That's Jan Burton, candidate for Boulder City Council. And Cindy Carlisle, what would your three priorities be on council?
I'm going to join with the others here and have affordability be a top priority. By that, I mean low and retaining our low and middle income persons of diverse incomes within this community, as well as look at ways in which we may be able to keep the properties that small businesses have been historically occupying and are now forced to leave town. Many of them are forced to leave town because the rents have gotten so high. I realize there are a lot of constraints around that, but I think there are things that we can look at doing. And the next thing is climate change. And that is, again, one of those broad topics. I'm in favor of going forward with the Muni. There is uncertainty, and going forward should help us establish what those uncertainties are, how much they may cost, and whether or not they're as large as they seem to be in the minds of many. We voted to explore this option twice now, and I think this coming vote is one to say we want to finish the job and see exactly where we are as much as we can, and then put the vote to the people about whether or not we're going to actually do this. So uncertainty is part of the name of this, but that's just the nature of the beast at this time. The last thing is, not the last, but the third thing, most important, is citizen engagement. There has been a real lack of the council listening to our citizens in this community, and when they come forward, too many times it feels as though the decision has already been made. And I think that we need to listen to the outcomes of the citizens. It was a manager-appointed public participation working group, hard to get that out. And their conclusions were that there needed to be a cultural change at the council level, then coming on down, in order to fully engage the people in this community so they'd have a voice in the policies and pieces that go into place to make it the city that it is.
That was Cindy Carlisle. She's a candidate for Boulder City Council. I appreciate all the candidates being so timely in their answers. We're going to dig in a little bit more. You all identified affordable housing as being an issue. Let's dig into some specifics of what you could do. Jan Burton, you are already serving on City Council. What specifics could you offer to help with Boulder's affordable housing problem?
Well, we just went through the Boulder Valley comp plan process, and we put quite a few changes in there that would allow for more housing, which I support very much. Number two is the council needs to approve housing. And there are some council members who talk a good story, but they don't actually approve housing projects. And it's a tough one because neighbors sometimes come up against a housing project because they don't want to change the character of their neighborhood. But you know, that's something that we have to do if we want to really be progressive and do what we say we're going to do. I think there's another thing like light infill, for example, accessory dwelling units or granny flats. We have many residents out there who would love to put in a granny flat or already have one, and the city is making it difficult for them. And that is a great way to house older people or allow an older person to move into the granny flat and let their kids or rent out their main house is a great way to help people overcome this incredible increase in property taxes because their property values have been increasing. So those are a few ideas.
Cindy Carlisle, do you have any specifics about what you would like to see happening for affordable housing?
Yes. One of the things that we could do is raise the linkage fees on new development. We had a consultant come in whom we paid thousands upon thousands of dollars who recommended, I think it was somewhere around $30 a square foot. Finally, he said 55 would be more equal to what the impacts of new development should pay in order to pay for affordable housing. The city council voted for less per square foot than the staff recommended. The staff recommended a conservative $15 a square foot. It had been at $9 a square foot, and the city council adopted $12.32 or something a square foot. And I believe it's fine to say that one may support affordable housing, as Jan has done, but she voted against raising it to what the staff conservatively had even recommended. And I think that's one of the places that we would revisit if I were elected to council. I would like to revisit that. That's one way. One of the other ways is having the neighborhoods. Jan mentioned the granny flats, accessory dwelling units. If we would do sub-community planning within the city, we've marked out areas to do that. North Boulder is an example of that, so that there's predictability within the parts of the city themselves, like East Arapaho, as they're developing. Places for housing could be mapped out for that. Places for mixed use with rezoning is another way to deal with this. Could be mapped out for putting in more housing where it hadn't been put before or allowed before by zoning. A third thing would be to have, we have this inclusionary housing where new development, again, pays a certain amount or is supposed to include a certain amount of low-income or affordable housing. And developers can opt out of this by paying a fee in lieu. And another issue there is that fee in lieu is not high enough to actually begin to be adequate for affordable housing. So that should be looked at.
That's Cindy Carlisle, one of the candidates for Boulder City Council. Adam Swetlick, could you give some specifics about what you could do on City Council around affordable housing?
So first, I want to give a little bit of my experience with actually getting a home. So since I graduated college, I've been working these at least two jobs at any given time just to save enough money to try to purchase a home. After 10 years of renting, I was able to buy a small one-bedroom condo after saving years and years and years. So that's sort of the reality for just the working people of Boulder. That's what it takes if you ever hope to own a home, and several people do not, which I think is really unfortunate for our city. Most people are getting either priced out on rents or they're losing their homes because of the rising property taxes on their homes, and they actually have to leave Boulder. I think that's incredibly unfortunate, and this is a supply and demand issue. City Council has not approved enough projects to actually get supplies up and meet the demand. That's as simple as it is. Boulder County has added 3.3 jobs for every housing unit since 2010. This is a huge disparity, and we're just not keeping up with the housing. So it is absolutely my top priority to increase those linkage fees, to actually approve some projects for low and middle income people, and stop putting through all these luxury condos that are ultimately going uninhabited. So I think there's a lot we could be doing better, and frankly, I think I'm the person to do it.
Adam Swetlick is a candidate for Boulder City Council. You're listening to KGNU, our Boulder City Council candidate forums. And next, I'd like to ask the candidates, what's your position on the city as a sanctuary community, and how should it address current federal policy towards undocumented immigrants? And we'll start this time with Cindy Carlisle.
I am proud that the city of Boulder is a sanctuary community. I have not studied up on how it may adequately deal with the federal laws regarding this, but I know that there are attorneys and attorneys general in states as well as in cities arming themselves to contest the sanctuary city, contest in favor of the sanctuary city movement. And I would do whatever I could to protect those persons within the city limits, indeed within Boulder County, if it were my purview, for that matter, the country. But I would look into that and study up on it. I'm fully in support of it.
Adam Sweat, like, what would your position be on the city being a sanctuary community?
I am also very much in favor of our city being a sanctuary community. Luckily, the federal government doesn't give us very much tax money, so we don't have to worry about their threats so much. And I really am proud of that. We get to do the right thing and the moral thing and protect the people who are very vulnerable here in Boulder. And I'm very proud of that. I hope we can only continue and expand upon that as a community going forward.
And Jan Burton, Boulder as a sanctuary community, and particularly in the light of what's happening federally with undocumented immigrants.
Council voted unanimously and quite forcefully to support sanctuary policy. And that was the Tuesday after whatever event that caused this to happen. So we took very quick action. So what that means is that our police will not enforce federal policies. It's not our job to cooperate with immigration officials. But also, Joe Pelley at the county level is on the same page. So he's the one who's running the jails. So he supports sanctuary city as well. So he does not enforce immigration relationships with the immigration people.
Well, I'm going to give all the candidates an opportunity to ask your opponents in this race some questions. Adam Sweatlake, what would you like to ask Cindy Carlisle and Jan Burton?
So I would just like to ask the candidates, do you think the current makeup of City Council is socioeconomically representative of the city of Boulder?
Cindy Carlisle, would you like to respond?
Unfortunately, it is not. And one of the things that we put into place to try to address this is in 1999, there was a steering committee, very diverse group, League of Women Voters, Common Cause was an advisory person to put into place the campaign finance reform, which are the matching funds, so that persons who do not have adequate funding, if they're widely known in the community, I think it's about 80 persons who have to give checks of $25 or more, they can qualify for matching funds from the city, so that it's not really a public handout, but a way to try and level the playing field so that the candidates who don't have the money, regardless of age, can be able to contend. But I would love to see younger people, and I have campaigned for younger people to come on to the city council in other years. I think we need younger. I think they need to be representative in terms of diversity, ethnicity, and it's just time to do it. But as everyone here will say, it's not an easy challenge, just the campaigning itself, much less being there.
Jan Burton, would you like to respond to Adam's question?
Absolutely, we are not diverse enough, and our community is not diverse enough, so we don't have a pool to really pull from. Governance is a high priority for me, and one of the issues that I see for working people is the length of time that we spend in council meetings and the demands of the council job. When I got on the council, I and a couple others pushed very hard to have council meetings be shorter. The average length of time my first year on council was after midnight. Well, that's not very good for a worker bee to have to get up then the next morning by 6:30 or 7 to get to work. So we have decreased that time to 10:30. That's a huge step culturally for us. The working group, participation group that Cindy referred to, told us to stop doing so much. Do less. I believe that very much, that the council should do fewer things and do them better. And I think if we do that, it will allow younger people and more diverse people who are working to be able to participate on council. And then finally, our boards and commissions are a recruiting ground for council. And I have very much been trying to recruit younger people and diverse people to represent us on council. And in fact, I did that last year. So, and that's what one thing I'll continue to do to try to get people. And Adam, I hope you would do that. If you don't get elected, I hope you would go on a board that you're passionate about. And that helps educate you about the city and pipeline you for the next election.
Well, Jan Burton, what question would you like to ask your
opponents.
I'd like to ask both Cindy and Adam, you both mentioned that you're supportive of higher linkage fees, but if you read the voluminous data coming out of the various study sessions, et cetera, you would have seen that if we raised the linkage fees higher than $12, it would have caused the price of rent to go up. Or their assumption was that the price of land would go down. Now, so my question to you would be, and I'm just going to read a quote from a guy we got an email from, a guy who's a nonprofit. Access to affordable mental health services, child care, infant daycare, and preschools has been slammed out of Boulder County. Now, this is office space, right? And why he's talking about here. As director of Boulder Emotional Wellness, I'm tasked with keeping the doors open. And I can tell you that the affordable office space for human services is vanishing. What was $13 a square foot is now $17, and only available space under $20 in mentions a neighborhood that it doesn't really want to be in. So what the data showed was that the linkage fees would either cause higher prices of office space, because the developer doesn't just take it in the shorts, right? Or the price of land would have to go down. So my question to you is, do you think the price of land would go down? And how would you overcome the cost of office space increasing as a result of the linkage fees?
Adam Swetlick, would you like to go first with your answer?
I do think this is first a question of priorities. We've let mega companies like Google come in to our community, very small community with an additional 5,000 workers, and that alone is going to affect the market. I think the linkage fees are a means to actually, you know, provide more affordable housing for people at the cost of the businesses, the large businesses that we've allowed in here right now. Unfortunately, they were exempt from those linkage fees because they weren't in place prior to Google coming in. But if we're going to continue to allow these mega corporations into our community, I think it's only fair that they pay their fair share, regardless of what the land prices end up being.
That's Adam Swetlick. Cindy Carlisle, your response.
I would tend to agree with Adam. I think that linkage fees and adequate, not only in linkage fees pay for, they go into the pot for affordable housing. So that's more money to pay for affordable housing within the city. Rezoning is another way. But in terms of impacts, paying not only for the housing dilemma, but also the traffic congestion. So that we are exacting from people who want to, people come here because this is a nicely, beautifully made city. We've got good infrastructure. We've got a beautiful setting. We have an educated population. We used to have room for many creative sorts who've all had to migrate. Unfortunately, not all, but many have had to migrate out of the city. And what we're doing is dispersing the very thing that made us so desirable in the first place. And if other entities want to come in here of such size from without, it seems to me that they need to pay for the impacts that they create.
Can I respond?
Briefly.
Okay. Neither one of you really answered my question. This gets down to balance. And even the affordable housing providers saw that if we increase the linkage fee too much, no building would happen, so there would be $0. So there was a balance that we had to play between having a pot of money to build housing and causing the prices to go up so much so that there would be nothing developed.
So if no building happens, then it seems that prices would indeed, if not increase, they would reduce because they wouldn't be valuable for people to develop on. Perhaps they would be more valuable to persons who couldn't afford to develop in a big way. So that seems a bit contradictory to me in that sense, if development doesn't happen.
Well, we're running out of time, unfortunately, but I would like to offer Cindy Carlisle an opportunity to ask the other candidates a question.
I'm just going to do a softball here. I'm going to ask the other candidates who else they're supporting on council. It could just be two other persons and two other who aren't incumbents, and why they're supporting them.
John Burton, would you like to answer that one?
I haven't really decided who I'm supporting yet. I think there is, we're very fortunate to have some great choices this year, fantastic choices. I'm very happy that a number of them are under 40 years of age. I didn't know you were the youngest, but congratulations, Adam. So I think we've got some great choices with great diverse talent, from transportation to housing to all kinds of talent. So I really haven't decided the two people that I'm supporting. I'm still listening to the forums. I would be happy to serve with a number of people who are running.
And Adam Svetlik.
Unfortunately, that is not as big a softball as you think it is. I, too, haven't really decided exactly who I'm supporting. Right now, I'm doing all I can to support my own run. It's super hard when you're a first-timer into this, and, you know, I'm just trying to do everything I can to get my own name out there right now, so I'm not concerned about the other candidates as much.
Well, we're going to give... Cindy, did you want to?
I was just going to say thank you. That really was a soft one, wasn't it?
Well, we're going to give all the candidates an opportunity for closing statements, to give websites and other opportunities where listeners can find out more, because a lot of these issues are complex and obviously we're not going to get adequately addressed in this time. But I would like to just go back to an issue that you all raised in your top three priorities, and that is municipalisation, to just once again clarify your position on the city's effort toward municipalisation, particularly as it pertains to the ballot measures, because the voters will also be voting on some municipalisation efforts or measures this November. Cindy Carlisle.
So I'm Cindy Carlisle. I have a track record in this community for doing things that I think are foremost for the community, again, in concert with others. Affordability, climate change, and engaging with the citizens in this community so their voices are actually heard are three of my top priorities. I am voting for the municipal ballot issues, municipalization ballot issues. I think that I would like to see finish the process which we began when we first voted for this to go through. And I think once we have the information, then we'll be in a much better place to be saying whether we want to actually have municipalize or not. But this will help answer that question.
And is there a website or other opportunities for listeners
to
engage?
There is a website. It's carlisleforcouncil.com, and there are multiple questionnaires that have been responded to that are on there.
We'll link to that at kgmu.org. Adam Svetlik, can you just restate your position on municipalization, particularly as it pertains to the ballot measures that voters will be also considering, and then give out any contact information and closing statement?
Absolutely. I am for the ballot measures on municipalization. You know, the city started this process a while ago now, but it still remains the only way that we're going to hit our 2030 climate goals is following through on the municipalization. So this is not only about the city itself, but about all of our futures, about how we interact and affect climate change, and really whether or not we're going to say Xcel has our best futures in mind. I think if a city like Longmont can you municipalize, I think we could be able to. My name is Adam Svetlik, and you can learn more about me at adamsvetlikforboulder.com. I just want to thank you.
We'll link to that at kgmu.org. Jan Burton, if you could restate your position on municipalization, particularly as it pertains to the ballot measures, give out contact information for you so listeners can find out more.
Sure. In regards to the muni, first of all, I'm an environmentalist, and I believe we need to be doing everything we can to fight climate change. But I'm not a gambler with the city's money. I'm a bit of a risk taker with other projects and with my own business. I started a company to create tiny homes. That was a risk, but I am not a gambler with the city's money, and I feel like there's not enough certainty to the path that we should continue down that path. So I personally... I was very, very happy to get all these ballots on the, all these measures on the ballot so that the voters can tell us if we want to continue. I will be voting no on all of them because I don't support continuing to spend the money. I think it's very risky getting our reserve levels down to such a low level where we would not be able to take on a flood or a fire or some other emergency. I won't vote for the executive session because I think it's one-sided. We can only talk about municipalization. We would not be able to talk about any kind of an off-ramp. And I think that is a one-sided view. And then the third one, which is putting it in the charter, I won't vote for either. Again, my name is Jan Burton. You can find more information at janforboulder.com. And thanks for having us.